Revenge of the Springbok. That's what Saturday's second rugby championship test between South Africa and Australia is all about. And in this episode, you are going to get a front row seat to the ultimate preview. Let's kick off with the two teams, starting with the Boks. Up front, Dr. Russie Erasmus has selected Oxen Chair, Malcolm Marks, and in the first of nine changes, Thomas Du Toit comes in at tight head. Two more changes in the second row with Argia Sneyman and Ruan Norkia doing duty. Marco van Staden continues at open side, but Franco Mostert comes in at blind side for the injured Pieter Steph Du Toit. And then another injury-enforced change sees Jean-Luc Dupreer start his first Springbok test in 7 years as he replaces captain Siya Kolisi. Grant Williams continues at scrum half, but we have a new fly half as Andre Pollard comes in for Marnie Lebok. On the wings, we have two more changes. Cheslin Kolbe is back on the left for the injured Kurtley Arendser, while Kanan Moody is on the right for Edwill van der Merwe, who also has a niggle. Damien D'Alende is back at inside centre for Andre Esterhazen. Jesse Creel continues at outside centre and is also our captain for this test. And then Willie Leroux was going to be the fullback. He was announced as the 15 at the start of the week, but he has withdrawn because of injury, and so Apelele Fassi will continue in the fullback position for the Boks. The bomb squad consists of Buan Venter, Marnus van der Merwe, and Wilco Lowe. We have two locks in Eben Etzebeth and Luip de Jager, and then Kwagga Smith completes the sextet of forwards. The two backs are Kobus Reinach and Sasha Feinbergen Gomezulu. Okay, now let's see what Joe Schmidt has done. Turns out he has kept changes to a minimum. Tom Robertson is in for James Slipper, who is injured. Otherwise, Billy Pollard and Tanila Tupou continue in the front row. Nick Frost and Will Skelton are again the lock pairing. Tom Hooper continues at blindside with the brilliant Fraser McWright skippering the side from open side. And then Rob Valentini comes in for the injured captain Harry Wilson. That could actually be an upgrade, you know, despite the brilliance that we saw in the first test from Wilson. So that shows you a little bit about the stocks the Aussies have in the back row. In the back line, Nick White and James O'Connor are once again the halfbacks. Corey Toole will make his debut on the left wing after Dylan Peach suffered an injury. Max Jorgensen is again on the right wing. Lene Kitau and Joseph Alkuso Suwali are again in the centres, and Tom Wright is at fullback. Schmidt has opted to go with a 5-3 bench split, just like last week. Brandon Paenga Amosa, Angus Bell and Zane Nongor are the replacement front row. Jeremy Williams and Nick Champion De Crepany are the other two forwards, with Tate McDermott, Tane Edmed and Andrew Kellaway, the three backline players. Now there are a few things I'm expecting. From us, this team Doc has selected suggests it's a case of back to basics. The over-the-top Tony Ball approach we saw in Johannesburg is not happening this week. Yes, we might still see an eagerness to attack, but it's not going to be the virtual touch rugby we saw at Ellis Park. I think with Andre Pollard there, you can expect a more measured approach. I actually think Williams and Pollard are our best halfback combo. You've got the attacking flair and speed of Williams with the meticulous Pollard. It's the best of both worlds. I think Williams and Lebok together on a bad day bring chaos, and I think we saw that last week. What Pollard's critics don't see is the manner in which he actually organizes our attack. He's always waving his arms and fingers at his teammates, directing them where to go. Do you know who else does that? Willie Leroux. Unfortunately, that was the original plan, but now Leroux has withdrawn, so Fassi continues at fullback. Now, I'll say this. I'm a fan of Fassi's. I like him, and I think he's going to do a good job for us. I think that, to date, his test career has been a successful one, and if I'm very honest with you, last week at Ellis Park was the first bad test we've seen so far, certainly in my view, from Apelele Fassi, and no doubt he'll be determined to grab this opportunity with both hands. It's almost as if he had been dropped for this test and was resigned to not featuring at all, and now suddenly he's in the starting 15 as of Friday morning. So no doubt he's going to be extra determined to prove a point on Saturday, in my view. Just back on the Pollard and Williams narrative, let's be honest, it's true. Pollard might not give you what Lebok gives you in terms of vision and flair. And, you know, just saying that Willie was not the same player that he used to be. But with the quickness of Williams, Pollard and indeed the rest of the back line, and this is where Fussy comes into it, they actually gain half a second. And I'm firmly of the view that the biggest differences between the various levels of any sport are time and space. The higher you go up, let's say from club level or amateur level to elite professional high performance level, the less time and space you have. If Williams can create a bit more time, that's good for us. Now, how about space? Well, I think the pack is going to do just that for us. You can expect big carries from our big men. I think that's why Dupree is in there, for example. You can add Sos to that list, and obviously everyone in the tight five. I'm expecting a dramatic improvement in the lineouts. We have to see that. And speaking of space, I also think we're going to see Grant and Hundre pepper their back three with up and unders, especially the new boy Tool on the left wing. Watch out for that. Now, you can't necessarily force scrums. Remember, we only had three last week, and an infringement at the breakdown generally results in a free kick or a penalty. But a knock-on is sanctioned with a scrum. Now, imagine those aerial balls, especially at the debutant, and then you close him down. Remember, I mentioned space earlier, and you put him and the other two in the back three under a bit of pressure. Now, of course, in the old days, the up and unders were generally targeted only at the fullback and sometimes the two wings. But these days, often you might see a box kick, and it's up to the fly half, one of the centers, maybe even a lock, to try and take that Gary Owen. But you know what? Put them under a bit of pressure, and suddenly you create an environment where a spillage becomes a possibility. And now you do indeed have your scrum. I think we're going to see not necessarily a kicking game from the box. I think that that's taking it too far, but we're going to see more kicking. I think we're going to see more up and unders from our boys this week. We're going to put those guys under pressure. You force a knock on, you get a scrum, and hopefully then we can capitalize. Remains to be seen, of course. Further to that, the 6-2 bench split tells me we're going to hurt them up front, or at least we plan to hurt them up front. And once the six selected forwards have emptied the tank, six new big boys are going on to continue the job. What we also need to see is a dramatic improvement at the breakdown. We were destroyed there last week. And make no mistake, Hooper, McWright and Valentini are among the best in the world in this regard. And that brings me to Australia. What will their strategy be in Cape Town? Well, for starters, I expect more of the same. Soak up the pressure, absorb whatever it is that we throw at them. The likes of Tupou, Frost and Skelton can go toe-to-toe with us physically. And as I mentioned, that loose trio of theirs is formidable. But they do have their limitations. I know they thrashed us last week, and deservedly so. But I just feel too many of their points came as a result of our mistakes and or turnover ball. I count at least three of their tries. Now, if you take that away, and I know that this is all hypothetical and it's after the fact and it makes no real difference, but take 21 points away from them and suddenly we've edged it 22-17 despite not being at our best. And if you look at it that way, it gives us hope, doesn't it? And maybe it gives them something to think about. And let's be honest, all they really have to do is capitalize on our mistakes again. So we need to make sure that we minimize those errors. And yes, they may very well have outlasted us and even outsmarted us in Johannesburg, but they didn't dominate us. We dominated territory and possession, as well as entries into the 22. Now, you could also argue that every time they entered our 22, they ended up scoring a try, which is almost correct, isn't it? Dare I say, we were our own worst enemies. Not to take anything away from the Wallabies, they thoroughly deserved their victory. I just think that this week, our Springboks are going to fix what went wrong and show the world what they are really made of. If they don't, there are going to be even more questions of the coaching staff's approach and also some of the players, especially the older ones. So I'm expecting a kicking game, not a 100% kicking game, but we're going to see a lot more kicking from the Springboks this week. I think we're going to see a bigger emphasis on physicality, and I think beating the gain line, gaining meters, and, you know, in the old sense, taking them to a dark place. I think that's what we're going to see from the Springboks. So before I give you my score prediction, here's a quick trip down memory lane for you. Since readmission, South Africa and Australia have done battle in Cape Town 8 times. In 1992, the world champion Wallabies annihilated us 26-3. That was our record defeat at the time. The sides met again in the opening match of the 1995 Rugby World Cup, with the Springboks winning 27-18. Then in 1999, the Boks edged the Australians 10-9. In 2003, Brent Russell inspired South Africa to a 26-22 victory. Next up was a 22-19 win in 2007, thanks to a couple of long-range Frankenstein drop goals. Then in 2009, the Springboks triumphed 29-17 on their way to winning that year's Tri Nations. In 2013, we pumped them 28-8 in the Rugby Championship after having whipped them in Brisbane earlier in the tournament. A year later, we were again too strong for them. This time, the score was 28-10. All of those matches were at Newlands, and this is the first time the sides will do battle at the Cape Town Stadium. It's been 11 years since South Africa faced Australia in the Mother City. And while I'm expecting to see us attack, I just think we're going to see more of our traditional DNA. We're going to try and grind them down. They'll be up for it. All Australians always are. And so we might be in for a battle of note, but ultimately we will prevail. And so I'm calling a home win. My score prediction is South Africa 27, Australia 9. But what do you think? Do you agree with me that we are going to turn things around and show the world we've still got it? Or do you think last week was just a precursor to even more pain this week at the hands of the Wallabies? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I'd like to encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. You can get great benefits, like, for example, you can get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online merchandise store. You can win Springbok merchandise. You can win Springbok match tickets. You can even win the brand new James Small biography that's coming out soon. In addition to that, you might even be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok player. And you might also be able to have quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok matches, tactics, players, anything you like regarding the Boks. In order to do that, you need to head on over to my Patreon page, sign up as a patron. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's about 85 Rand these days. And why would I like you to do all of this? Well, because I would love to do this full time, and I would love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under on a daily basis. In order to make that happen, I'm going to need your support, and any support will be greatly appreciated. I thank you in advance, and I look forward to your company next time.